Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, if you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or your own Bible. Romans 5, beginning with verse 6. Before we read God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word gives life. And as we read your word and as we hear your word this morning, we pray that you would grant us your Holy Spirit so that our hearts would be enlightened, so that our minds would comprehend, so that we might be transformed. Father, grant us your spirit so that we might see and follow the word made flesh. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Romans 5, beginning with verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Today we begin a four-week look at the book of Jonah. Jonah is one of the minor prophets found in the Old Testament, and they're called minor not because of their status, but simply because of their size. The minor prophets are short prophetic books in the Bible. Jonah only has four chapters, so it's a minor prophet. Compare Jonah, of course, to a major prophet like Isaiah, who has 66 chapters. Jonah stands out as very different among the other minor prophets. Rather than a series of oracles, rather than a group or a collection of proclamations from the Lord, Jonah is primarily a narrative. Jonah tells a story, and it's a story that captures the imagination. It's a story that takes place in the first half of the 8th century BC. The 8th century BC, almost 800 years before the birth of Jesus. Almost 3,000 years ago. This date can be approximated because Jonah is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 14, verse 25, we read of Jonah, son of Amittai. Jonah, son of Amittai, prophesied during the reign of King Jeroboam II. King Jeroboam II was king over Israel from 786 to 746 BC. During this 40-year reign under King Jeroboam, Israel enjoyed a golden age that rivaled that of King Solomon. The Lord blessed his people during the reign of Jeroboam II in spite of their sin, in spite of their disobedience. They had peace from their enemies. It was a time of great economic prosperity. The borders of their land were expanded, and it was during this time in the history of God's people that Jonah was called. It was during this time in the history of God's people that Jonah was sent. And Jonah was sent with a message of grace, a message of mercy, and a message of love. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know that it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the book of Jonah begins like many other prophetic books. The book of Jonah begins in a conventional prophetic manner. Look at verse 1 again. Verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai." This book begins with God speaking to Jonah. Jonah, whose name means dove. Divine communication comes to Jonah, the son of Amittai, which means my truth. Jonah is a son of the truth. Now, other prophetic books begin this way or contain this exact same phrase. Just listen to the opening of three other minor prophets. I just picked three at random. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi. Now, typically, what follows this pattern is a message that the prophet is to deliver. Divine communication to God's people through the prophet. However, the word that Jonah receives is different. It's a combination. Jonah's word is a combination of instruction and message, of directive and report. The Lord speaks these words to Jonah. Look again at verse 2. The Lord tells Jonah to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. The Lord tells Jonah, he doesn't just give Jonah a message, but he also gives him orders. He says, arise, get up and go. Now, the sense of the Hebrew here is immediate action is required. The Lord is telling Jonah, don't wait, don't hesitate, go and go now. Go to Nineveh and go now. Go to the great city of Nineveh and go now. Now, Nineveh was located north and west of Israel. It was situated on the Tigris River, and the ruins of this city are found today across the river from the city of Mosul, Iraq. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrian Empire was the world power during the time of Jonah. Now, 50 years to 75 years before Jonah, in the 9th century BC, Assyria had experienced great growth and great prosperity. Its economy was strong. Its army was feared for its size and for its brutality. The Assyrian kings were proud, they lusted after power, and they desired the expansion of their empire. The Assyrian culture was one that uplifted and celebrated war and violence. Now, there are both historical accounts and there are carvings that depict the savagery of Assyria. And here's just a couple of brief examples to give you a feel of the Assyrian culture. Now, one, in the midst of conquering an opposing nation, one Assyrian king ordered his army to present him with a pyramid built solely of human heads. Another king gave an account of his punishment upon leaders of a conquered city. He had these leaders skinned, and he said, nail their skins to the walls of the city. So like a growing cloud of darkness, the Assyrian Empire had been gradually expanding toward Israel, threatening Israel. But during the time of Jonah, Assyria faced internal strife. They faced internal battles. So the expansion of the empire was halted. Its movement toward Israel ceased for a while. And that is exactly why Israel could prosper during the time of Jonah. That's why Israel had peace during the time of Jonah. And it's during this time that the Lord tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, to go immediately. And this is Jonah's message that he was to deliver. The Lord said, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. So Jonah is supposed to go to Nineveh. He's supposed to go to the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the heart of Assyria, and to preach against it. To preach against it. Now, this word of God to Jonah was also unique among the prophets for this reason. God had spoken to his prophets before, and he had told his prophets to denounce the evil of other nations, to denounce the evil of the nations surrounding Israel. Now, that wasn't new. But those prophets, when they were called to denounce the evil of the nations around them, they were speaking that word to God's people. They weren't sent out to those nations to speak against them. So for example, when the Lord told the prophet Isaiah to speak against Babylon, he didn't tell Isaiah to go to Babylon and speak against them. He told Isaiah to speak against Babylon to God's people. Jonah, however, was sent to Nineveh. The Lord wanted Jonah to call out the evil, to call out the sin, to call out the pride, to call out the brutality of the Assyrians in Nineveh, in their presence, face to face. Now, verse 3 tells us Jonah's response to God's word. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord tells Jonah to rise, to get up and go immediately, and Jonah does. He arises, he gets up, and he goes immediately, but he doesn't go to Nineveh. Jonah gets up and he immediately flees. Jonah runs. And his destination is Tarshish. Jonah hires a ship to take him to Tarshish. Nobody is really sure where Tarshish is or was located. And more than likely, this was a city in southern Spain, southwest Spain, on the coast. So in other words, Jonah was headed in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. Jonah was trying to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could, and, we are told, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, what we're given here in this picture of Jonah is rebellion. This is rebellion. This is a picture of a prophet in rebellion. Jonah disobeys the word of the Lord. Jonah does not wish to serve the Lord. He denies the Lord's calling. He denies the Lord's authority. He desires to be away from the Lord. And his movement in this book, if you go back and look again at the movement of Jonah, his movement is described as a descent. Where does Jonah go? Jonah goes down to Joppa. Where does Jonah go? Jonah goes down in the inner part of a ship. Where does Jonah go? Jonah is cast down into the sea. Rebellion against the Lord is a descent into chaos and death. Now, why would Jonah run? Why would Jonah rebel? Why would Jonah descend? Up to this point, Jonah was a faithful prophet. That's how he's described in 2 Kings. He obeyed the Lord, that he served the Lord. Why would he do this? Now, put yourself in Jonah's shoes for a moment. Can you imagine being called by God, sent by God, for such an undertaking as this? It would be just like the Lord sending you to ISIS or some other radical terrorist group to preach to them, to call them out, and to do so in person, face to face. It would be like the Lord sending a Jew to Berlin in 1943 to preach to the Nazis, to call out the Nazis in their presence, face to face. Jonah just couldn't do it. This was Nineveh. They were enemies. They were a threat. They were sinful, sin-filled Gentiles who were outside of God's covenant. They were violent. They were brutal. They were savage. They were cruel. They were evil. They were immoral, even celebrating their sin, boasting in their sin, taking pride in their sin. They deserve justice. They deserve punishment. They deserve death for their evil. Not a message from the Lord. Not a second chance from the Lord. Not forgiveness from the Lord. So Jonah ran. Jonah rebelled. Jonah descended. But you can't run from the Lord. You can't run from the Lord. Perhaps like Jonah, you have tried to escape the presence of the Lord. You've tried to travel to a far country, away. You've tried to get to Tarshish. Maybe you even made it there for a time. But the Lord will seek you out. The Lord sought Jonah out. And the Lord sent a great storm upon his ship. And rather than ending up in Tarshish, Jonah ends up down in the sea, in the belly of a fish, saved from death by the Lord. Now, a question that you may have this morning is, why are we studying Jonah this month? Why Jonah during the Christmas season? And the reason is this: Jonah points us to Christmas. The message of Jonah is the message of Christmas. The message of Jonah is the message of God's mercy to enemies, to his enemies. It's the message of God's grace to sinners. It's the message of God seeking out those who have rebelled against him, and seeking them out in order to save them. The message of Jonah is the message of God's love. And that's Christmas. That's Christmas. God sends Jonah to Nineveh. God sends Jonah to enemies, to sinners who are outside of God's covenant. Now, we may not be as brutal, we may not be as savage, we may not be as barbaric as the Assyrians, but that's our story too. That's our story. Left on our own, that's our identity. Left on our own, that is our status. And in our New Testament reading from Romans, the Apostle Paul says as much. Listen to verse 10 from our Romans 6 reading again. Paul says, "For if while we were enemies," enemies, Paul calls us. We're enemies. Enemies of God. Assyrians. Because of our sin, because of our evil, because of our disobedience. We are enemies because of our failure to love. To love God and to love each other. We are enemies because of our pride and because of our selfishness and because of the ways we celebrate our sin. We're enemies because of our dissent. We're enemies, and as enemies, we deserve justice. Just like the Assyrians did. We deserve punishment. We deserve death. And our evil has come up before the Lord. But in his mercy, the Lord has a word. The Lord has a message to us for a second chance. Forgiveness. And rather than send a messenger, rather than send a prophet like Jonah, God himself has come. God himself has come. He has descended to us. He has descended to us. We who have descended, God has descended to us, seeking us out. He has come entering space and time and history. He has come entering enemy territory in the womb of a young woman named Mary, taking on flesh, becoming human just like us, to be in our midst, to be in our presence, to come to us face to face in Jesus, whose cries were heard in the night in a stable in Bethlehem. This is Christmas. And unlike Jonah, Jesus did not run. He came willingly. And he is not only the messenger, but he is the message. Jesus himself is God's message of mercy, God's message of grace, God's message of love to enemies, to those alienated from him, in rebellion to him, to us. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus was born. In him and through him, God offers a second chance. He offers forgiveness of sins. He offers life. He offers salvation. Jesus took God's justice, God's wrath, God's punishment upon himself on the cross. He received what we deserve. He took our place. And listen to the rest of verse 10 of Romans 6. Paul writes, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." Are you an enemy? Have you descended into the depths of rebellion? Are you running from God? Are you trying to reach Tarshish? Well, Jesus Christ was born. God seeking you out. Offering you life. Offering you forgiveness. Offering you a second chance. Are you reconciled to God? No longer an enemy to God through Jesus Christ, then celebrate Christmas with joy. Joy for the one who is the message of God's love, the messenger and the message of God's love, the babe born in Bethlehem. He has come. Celebrate it with joy, for that's Christmas. And that is the message of Jonah. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for your love, for your mercy, for your grace that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus. Father, give us joy as we celebrate his birth. We thank you that in him you have sought us out, that while we were enemies, Christ died for us to reconcile us to you. We give you thanks and bless you for that good news, the good news of Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.